Hello and welcome back to the German Fitba podcast. We actually forgot to do this during the podcast, so I'm now recording this early morning, this morning as the podcast goes out today. But we should probably mention that this is our 50th episode, and it's a bit mad that we've actually got this far and where we are at the moment. I know 50 episodes probably not that great in the space of nearly a year and a half, but for us, you know, we're really happy about it. We really enjoy doing what we do. We're just five guys who've managed to come together. We like talking about the game and we like creating new stories about the game, Germany in general, visiting grounds and all that stuff. And we're really happy that people actually like listening to us and want to engage in our fun stories, our adventures, and listen to our general rambling. So thank you very much for letting us reach this far. It's a huge milestone for the lads. We're all very excited, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Paul Lambert and Karl-Heinz Riedle 1-0 for Borussia Dortmund.
Alan Mackinelli, meine Damen und Herren.
Hello and welcome back to the German Football Podcast. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I think we all wanted to sort of apologise for an unannounced break that we sort of had, because it feels like a while since we've recorded a podcast. I think the last time we did one, we were in the middle of the Sascha Mulder's controversy, which has since been resolved and he's no longer part of the club, thankfully. But we're back, we're refreshed after the new year and the Christmas break that we forgot to tell you about. And we're going to bring you a nice, lovely review of the Hinrunde so far. And in doing so, look forward to the second half of the Bundesliga, as well as the second half of the German football season. So, joined with me, I've got my two handsome co-guests tonight, or co-hosts, should I say. First one, Roy, your timing's impeccable as always. You managed to get Corona in time to miss Christmas, New Year, and your birthday, which was pretty impressive yourself. So how are you doing? How was your quarantine? I popped in to see you from outside your door a few times before I left you.
Oh, good things coming threes, mate. Just had to admit, to strike all three off, sitting in this room for 14 days on my Todd. It was great fun. Had to catch it the day of my flight as well, you know. Just got to do that security of taking that Schnell test, which just didn't come back the way you wanted it to. It's not the result you want. So I'm great. I'm now allowed outside, freedom and everything like that. It's going well. And you know, I had a couple of visits from you before you fucked off back to England and left me on my Todd. So but apart from that, it was fine. Like, it was great.
Yeah, well, I did do my best to not leave you by missing my flight originally, by not getting a test and then having to make my way to the city of Bremen and finally getting home. But that's another story. Anyway, we also have Colin here, who I believe just occurred to me, this might be Colin's first podcast as a homeowner. Is that right?
Not quite yet. It's my first podcast is an almost homeowner. It's not quite over the line yet. Being a slight source of stress, but probably not as stressful as Roy's Christmas.
That's true. And I suppose all the listeners want to know if you had a nice Christmas break as well, Colin.
I did. I got a Duisburg top for Christmas, which I'm currently wearing. I believe I've already been pictured wearing it. And I imagine Roy's got it on Twitter. Or it will be there soon.
Yeah, that's a nice belated Christmas present for everyone, no doubt. And the Werder Bremen hat, was that a Christmas present as well? A stocking filler?
It was. It was part of a Bundesliga box.
Nice.
The only unfortunate thing is wearing a green white hat in Scotland leads to unwanted conclusions. But because I wore it, I actually wore it to something. What are you saying?
Especially in air, like air's a very, let's just say, if it's not black and white, it's very blue and white.
Yeah, I know. I wore it to the Boxing Day game against Raith Rovers and got a couple of strange looks, but people should know what a Werder Bremen badge looks like. So when they look, when they study the hat further, they'll be like, all right, no, that's fine. It's all right. We don't need to worry here.
Yeah, 100%. I really hope that doesn't lead anyone to draw the same conclusions as you made of that fellow of the pumpkin. Anyway, so we're going to crack on now. I've got quite a lot to get through, actually, I've just realised. So the way we're going to do this, we're not going to do the ridiculous in-depth preview of the Bundesliga that we did a few months ago. We're going to sort of break it up into slightly more enjoyable. We're not going to go through team by team. We're going to go through the moment of the season so far, a surprise of the season, a disappointment of the season. And very luckily, we're going to get to talk about our favourite stadium or the match we attended. We're going to go for the game of the season. And just by looking forward to the season starting again, we're going to each make a bold prediction for the Rückrunde. So we don't know. Actually, I know a few of what Colin's predicted here, but or a few of Colin's choices. But other than that, I have no idea what Roy's picked, and I don't know the rest of what Colin's picked. And I believe they only know one of... I think I told you what my game of the season was. So we could end up all picking the same things here, which might lead to a boring podcast. Or we could have completely different answers, which knowing Roy and I is pretty possible. So we'll crack on anyway. So first one we're going to go for... is the moment of the season, and I'll come to you first, Roy. I'm very interested to know, there's a lot that you experienced as a German football fan this season. I'm wondering if your moment might be HSV related or Köln related or something else. Let us know.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I've come up with maybe two or three, so I'm not gonna go into depth in all of them. I'll maybe just give you a wee summary of one and a wee mention of the other. I mean, my moment of the season, just for the clicks, was Tommy Doyle's goal against Paderborn. Did me wonders on the Hamburg social media, that goal. He's done me good there, new followers. Nah, joking aside, it was a cool moment for myself, watching another fellow Brit score a goal for the club that I work for, which is nice to see. So that was one of my moments of the season. But my real moment of the season was the Rhein Derby Sieger. When FC Köln quite literally pumped Borussia Mönchengladbach by a 4-1 scoreline. It was a fantastic game, great goals, just a great result. Completely pivoted, showed what happened under Baumgart this season, the confidence in them, the ability to go and do that. Okay, Gladbach are a wounded animal at the moment, wounded fallen at the moment, but... like you can take away that result. I think that's going to be one of the results of the season and probably one of my moments of the season.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to end up talking about Baumgart and Köln quite a lot, just by the potential they have to come up with our choices here. But do you think this is probably the most enjoyable season you can remember as a Köln fan for a while?
I mean, like, if I'm honest, I've only been following Köln for like last 6-7 years, and during that time, they managed to get to the Europa League and things like that. But they've also managed to be absolutely horrendous and being in the Zweite Liga. So I think this is probably a mid-season so far. I'd see what happens when it comes to the Rückrunde. They've got the potential to go and be exciting and do something and consolidate that place in the Bundesliga, which is probably, first and foremost, the aim. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they could do. See if they bring anyone in. I'd really doubt they're going to bring anyone in of note that's actually going to be worth it, but we'll see. But it's been a good season so far for David Müngersdorf.
Well, yeah, they have lost Chicos. It'll be interesting to see if they replace him. Bit disappointing seeing him go to the MLS, but you know, with what's his name, Insigne going to Toronto as well. Maybe it's the trend at the moment. I think you're being a bit harsh on Köln, saying it's a sort of average middle season at the moment. I think I've been...
Well, that was my experience.
Standout teams for me. I mean, I think I remember when you and I watched that Leverkusen game when they were 2-0 down after about 7 minutes. And when they came back to draw that, we were both saying that Köln of recent times wouldn't have pulled off that result. So, but, you know, you watch more Köln than me. So if you want to say that they've had a middling to average season, then then you, you
I mean, I mean, to Matt, like you asked, the question you, you put forward was in your time as a Kiln fan, and I've only been a Kiln fan for like the last 6 or 7 years. So that was, I put to that, like, I'm putting Europa League and winning this Vita League kind of a wee bit above it. And then it's a good season. It could be a great season. So don't, right, don't make me sound like I'm saying Baumgart's not worth it. He's a lovely man.
Ever the pessimist you are. Anyway, hopefully, it's like positive note from Colin. What's yours?
Well, I'm not sure I can match Roy's example of Kuhn literally pumping Gladbach, as he said. But I've also got a Kuhn related example. I've gone for a slightly more comic moment when Modeste scored the late equaliser against Union to make it 2-2 and celebrated by stealing Stefan Baumgart's flat cap and dancing with him, much to the annoyance of Baumgart himself. I think generally, Köln's resurgence this season has been one of the biggest stories in the Bundesliga after being so terrible last year. Really boring football, just stumbling over the line in the relegation playoff against Kiel and managing to secure survival. This season it's just been a breath of fresh air, I think, in comparison. I don't really think they're likely to push for European football, but just from an entertainment point of view, they're just much more interesting to watch. And Baumgart's a really charismatic guy, I think. And Modeste, I think it sort of speaks volumes that Modeste was comfortable doing that. Like, usually you wouldn't want to. I mean, he sort of embarrassed his manager in public a wee bit, but he must have that relationship with the players that they feel sort of comfortable joking around with him. Obviously, Baumgart was annoyed. I don't think that was because he felt disrespected. I think it was more just from the fact that he wanted Kuhn to push on and get the winner instead, rather than Modeste wasting time dancing on the touchline. That I would say that was the moment that popped into my head when you asked the question earlier. So I would go for that, another cool example.
Yeah, I mean, Roy talking of getting clicks in my own occupation, that was certainly a viral moment which helped us out. I think I'm just going to completely switch things up here, because my surprise of the season was Köln. So I'm just going to talk about that now. I sort of went for Köln, Anthony Modeste, and Stefan Baumgart as a trio, because, I mean, I remember when Baumgart was in the Bundesliga of Paderborn, he played the same sort of attacking, all guns blazing football, and it was very entertaining to watch, and they obviously didn't have the quality, but they were also very, very weak at the back, and sort of, it was kind of, they were kind of had a lot of sympathy in the Bundesliga, despite the fact they finished bottom, were very poor, and pulled off a couple of decent results, I remember, against Dortmund at the end of the season. But his Köln side has been a lot more disciplined in their sort of chaos, if that makes sense. And it's been all about, you know, working harder than the opponent. I saw a quote from Baumgart was that, you know, saying to the team that it hurts to play the way that he wants to play, but it hurts the opponent more when they play that way. And I think that's kind of sums up the style of play and sort of why they've been successful so far. I mean, I just had a look earlier, second in the league for intensive runs, first in the league for crosses, third in the league for shots, second for aerial duels in the league. And all of those statistics are higher than they were last season. So it's just constantly bombarding the defence going forward and not really giving the opponent a second to breathe. And then alongside that is Modeste himself. I mean, he's been absolutely crucial, been the Leistungsträger of Köln so far this season. I mean, last year, 8 goals, no games at Köln, and then went on loan to St. Etienne, 7 games, no goals. I think it is important to realise he has spoken about how the death of his father did affect him quite a lot. But he's come back, and like you said, he's obviously has a special connection with Baumgart. This season, 19 games, 13 goals in all competitions. I think the most impressive thing, and when you just think about Modeste this season, is you always seem to think about him scoring really, really late on. I mean, I think, yeah, four of his 11 goals in the Bundesliga this season have come in the 80th minute or after. You know, instead of that brace against Leverkusen, scored late against Union, got the winner against Wolfsburg in the 89th minute, winner against Stuttgart also in the 89th minute. And I think like we were saying earlier about the cone of old probably not having that tenacity right to the very end. That's the main sort of difference that Baumgart's made that I'm not really sure I expected, really, because I thought that style of play could be quite exhausting and doesn't always last to the end of the game. So I suppose the question now is whether it will last to the end of the season. So that's me skipping ahead to my surprise. So that's no longer a surprise. But my moment of the season, and probably going to be speaking for quite a while here, is a couple of weeks ago, Aaron Opoku, who's on loan from Haasvaal, being racially abused in the game between Duisburg and Osnabrück. It's the first game in professional German football to be called off due to a racist incident, going straight to the top of the three-tier procedure set out by FIFA in 2017. And I think most people probably know what's happened by now, but you know that both teams left the field immediately, and the crowd were chanting "Nazis out," and there was a lot of solidarity in the game, in the stadium, and a large public solidarity, which is great to see. But I think it took me back immediately to February 2020 when Jordan Tuonariga of Hertha BSC received the exact same racial abuse in a cup game with Schalke. And he reported this to the referee, who said that there wasn't enough time. We didn't find the right time to escalate this to the steps of the second tier of the FIFA protocol. And in the meantime, Tuonariga was so visibly upset, they ended up getting sent off. So I think that's, you know, just under 2 years that we've had the same incident with no response from the referee and the player getting sent off out of, you know, by getting so upset, rightly so, about the incident, to where we are now, well, in December 2021, with a much better response. And hopefully that's the trend for in German football and in all of football to come. So I just thought that was a moment which stood out to me, because we haven't really seen a response to racism like that across German football yet. So On a slightly more brighter note, I'll come to you, Colin, for your surprise of the season. What have you got? What surprise have you got in store for us?
Well, to me, I don't think you can ignore Streich and Freiburg, where they are sitting right now in third. I know I'd mentioned on a previous episode, I remember sort of having this conversation where I'd sort of mentioned Freiburg as one of the surprises of the season. I think Roy said that it wasn't at this point a surprise because they've been overachieving for so long. But I think you've got to say, with the players at their disposal, being third in a Champions League spot at a halfway mark is pretty remarkable. I would say as well, it sort of shows the benefits of sticking by a coach for so long, which in the culture now of hiring and firing clubs like Hamburg and Schalke, having about, I don't know, 15 coaches in the time that Freiburg have still had the same strife for 10 years. And you see the position Freiburg are in compared to those clubs. It shows that loyalty pays dividends. I would say the main secret this season has been the solid defensive base. The sides have only conceded 16 goals so far this season, and that's equal to Bayern's defensive record. Had a really settled back line. That's the thing about the squad, it's so stable, quite a small squad, but they know they've got a strong core of players that they can always rely on, who are always going to be consistent, despite not really having any superstars in the team. Particularly settled at the back line, Nico Schlotterbeck and Philipp Lienhardt at centre-back, both being really impressive. That I'd say they're sure to attract interest from other clubs, particularly Schlotterbeck, who's only 22, but he's showing a real maturity in his performances. And he's earned a call up to the national side as well, which is really good for a player of that age. It's been defensive strength, which has been the main reason for their success so far, but they've also shown themselves able to score goals, making the most of set-piece situations. Like, you particularly saw that in the 6-0 win over Gladbach, Borussia Park. We've got a player like Grifo, who's got excellent delivery, and he's been another key to the success of the side this season. So I think Freiburg may be one of the more obvious options. But I just don't think you can really ignore the success they've had. And if they do manage to maintain this and end up in the Champions League, I think that's a massive story, and Strike would be coach of the season if that was to occur.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, 10 years in a managerial position as head coach is sort of unheard of now, and he's had the same assistant, Patrick Beyer, and the same goalkeeping coach, Lars Forsler, with him the whole time, and sort of that continuity, and also the same sort of mentality and the same approach to football, as well as kind of cliche, but it's kind of approach to life has sort of stayed the same. And I think the moving to the new stadium could have potentially been something to knock them off. It's kind of a sign that they're willing to take that step up to establish themselves as a top half Bundesliga side, whereas they've probably been relatively happier with sort of mid-table up until this point. So, but the new stadium hasn't stopped them in their stride at all. And like I said, I think Nico Schlotterbeck's probably going to be Germany's centre-half for many years to come. And they've got one of the best academies in Germany, in Freiburg. So, and, you know, it's really a very romantic story, the whole the city of Freiburg and the club's success in the Bundesliga so far. And I think it'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who's not at least a sympathiser of that club. And yeah, I suppose with some of the clubs that are in the Bundesliga at the moment that we're probably not so great fans of, it's a pleasure to have a team like Freiburg still kicking around and doing well. Now, Roy, your surprise, please let us know. What is it?
Well, I mean, my first surprise of the season comes from the German football podcast, Northern Weekend, and obviously the North, because it was the Northern Weekend. But the amount of mayonnaise on Collins' pommes was absolutely shocking. That's got to make the like surprise of the season. When that came out, that's got to be one of the surprises of the season. Absolute shocker. But if we went into more proper terms, of course.
Yeah, I think you've got to probably add a picture to back that up. So I mean, yeah, we can certainly get a picture of that monstrosity out on Twitter for everyone to see. We're still parental guidance advised, I must say.
it's an absolute shocker. And I don't know how Collins not ended up in A&E after eating that, to be fair. He's clogged and everything. It's an absolute joke. So I was fairly surprised when he was delivered this from the lovely vendor just outside the Rathaus in Hamburg.
You know what?
Go for it.
You know, my main feeling when I had that was disillusionment. Because I'd gone like 2 years without a currywurst, 2 years without any like German food, and I was really excited for it. And then I was delivered that monstrosity, and didn't even finish it. Ended up in the bin, and that was the kickoff to the weekend. And I felt like it took me a good day to recover from that disappointment. And by that point, I was like halfway through the holiday, so it felt like a complete waste. Waste of mayonnaise. And I like mayonnaise as well, but it was a mountain of it. Sometimes you can get too much of a good thing. And that was one of those situations.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like it had to be brought up. Do you want a proper answer now? Like with football?
I personally don't care, but I'm sure that the listeners would love one.
Yeah, I mean, it probably make more sense. My surprise of the season, I mean, I think I was actually talking to a Schalke fan yesterday, and I'm not choosing Schalke, it's just part of my answer was that Schalke actually played better without their top goal scorer, Simon Terodde, recently. And that's quite a surprise considering how pivotal he had been with all the goals he scored. But Schalke are actually looking better without him, so you do wonder what's going to happen. That was a bit of a surprise. And my main surprise of the season is actually St. Pauli. I think for them still to be top of the league, and keeping that consistency under Timo Schulz this season, and keep, you know, it's just something you've not really seen with them this in the past couple of years. Usually, if they do have a good season, they end up falling away. You saw them have a really poor start to the season last year. But Timo Schulz has kept on. It's actually quite nice to see that even when they were going through the rough patch, they didn't just chuck the manager. And you look at them now, I mean, top goal scorer with Borgstaller. I think that Kiera's got the top assist as well. They've only lost four times this season. There's nothing really to say that they won't get promoted this year or at least finish in the playoff position if things went a bit shit towards the end of the, like, this year. But I really don't see anything other than them getting promoted this year. So it's not maybe like I kind of looked at the answer as a shock, but it's not really a shock. It's more of a like surprise. I get that, but I didn't really expect them to keep it up when they started the season, even when they started the season so well. So maybe it's a bit controversial, but I'm now not going to be surprised in the Rückrunde if they're top. But for the Hinrunde, for them to be top and be so consistent, which they don't always show, that's probably one of my surprises of the season.
So you said it was more of a shock than a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, shock and a surprise is the same thing, isn't it?
That's what I was interested. I was interested to know how you would delineate a shock from a surprise. Didn't realize you were so caught up in the sort of semantics of these things.
The mayonnaise was a shock. Pauli were a surprise.
Right, there we go. So I've made a new category, clearly. So I do apologise. But I mean, I don't know if you both agree with that. But for me, it's probably just being up there and staying there and being that consistent team, just it surprised me.
It's surprising to know that the team in Hamburg can have a bit of consistency.
My main thought was when you're talking about it, like you say, St. Pauli have these good spells and they fall away. I think there's still the potential where that could happen. I mean, was the last game they lost 3-0 at Kiel, didn't they? So yeah. There's definitely the possibility they could still go on a bad run. And it's the kind of league that the teams are so evenly matched that something like that happens. It's generally momentum that carries you into the promotion spots rather than a team being consistent over a full season.
The second game back is the Hamburger Stadt Derby. So I think whoever comes from that result will probably tell both teams how they're going to go for the end of the season as well. So it's definitely one to keep your eye on the 21st of January, I think it is. I
don't want my to be birthday, that. Indeed.
Yeah, it's the 21st of January, thank you.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. I'm hoping for a Pauli win for a nice birthday present, that'll be nice. Anyway, so it's good to know, Roy, that you're so easily shocked and or surprised. That's good to know going forward. But I'm sort of wanting to know if you're as easily disappointed or not, or if you're more of a man to be surprised than disappointed.
No, I can be disappointed.
And this is related. This is football related, by the way. Not.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if the first one is I've got on my list counts, but I'm not going to lie, George, you're on my list, mate. I'm disappointed in you getting sent off. It's an absolute disgrace. Just it looks bad for the podcast when you're getting sent off in the lower leagues of Hamburg. I was disappointed when you came home and said that. So I'm going to put you as number one disappointment of the season.
I'd say if Connor's listening to this, the keeper in our team, he'll be able to back me as a witness here. But first yellow, very, 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 very soft, if even a foul. Second yellow, a bit reckless of myself, knowing I was on a yellow. But to be sent off 41 minutes into your debut in the starting 11, I'm not going to pretend that that's not a disappointment. So I'll let you have that one. But you know what? I came back stronger.
You did.
Suspension.
Everyone knows. Had to let everyone know that you were part of my disappointment in the season, unfortunately. My main disappointments of the season, one just came recently today. Recently today? That makes sense. It just came today as well. I'm going to include two here. I'm sorry if I take one of Collins, because this happens quick. Well, I think it happens a lot. Collins seems like we never agree. Jesse Marsh, not him himself being disappointed, well, kind of him being a disappointment, but RB Leipzig also. Just disappointing how that kind of unfolded. I don't know if it's just the situation disappointed me, not both specifically, but I just expected a bit better. I expected it to go well. I kind of had hopes that, like, I'm not the biggest fan of the what's going on in Leipzig, but it doesn't take away that I think Jesse March is a really good young up-and-coming manager. I know he's been around for a while now, but he's still... I want to see his potential do well in the Bundesliga. So I was quite disappointed that it kind of ended so quickly and it didn't really kick off the way it should have. So he definitely makes... That situation makes disappointment of the season for me. And the second one is the whole kerfuffle with... kerfuffle doesn't even cover it. Like, that makes it sound funny. The whole, like, shocking... Like, we'll go back to shocking again part of the season with Marcus Anfang and his COVID passport scandal, which has now just came out and admitted. So it's an absolute joke. He probably shouldn't coach again after that, but definitely disappointing to see. And, I mean, it just kind of played in what's been a really poor season for Bremen again so far. But, yeah, Marcus Anfang, you disappoint me, mate.
Well, yeah, I think I would have to disagree that it doesn't make it sound funny, because as ridiculous as the situation is, I can't help but laugh at the utter stupidity to lie so obviously to suggest that you've had your second vaccine, which you said that you didn't have, when you were away on a training camp in Austria, and say that you had your vaccine in Bremen. I mean, if he just had made it a little bit more watertight, no one would have found out. It's good to know that today he's admitted. I can't see that he's going to be getting a job anytime soon. But yeah, with Marsh, I sort of feel the same, but I kind of feel like he was probably, of everyone, the person who was least surprised or least disappointed with the fact that he ended up leaving, because there was reports coming out of in his last sort of 5-10 games at Leipzig that he let it know to the Leipzig hierarchy that he actually didn't think he was a very good fit for the role, which is kind of that in itself, although we're talking about disappointment here, is surprising when you think he has been groomed for his entire coaching career within the Leipzig mold, the Red Bull mold. And I think that kind of underlines the point that what is the point in having an entire structure, an entire powerhouse over spanning many countries, trying to play the same brand of football, if when you get to the top of that footballing tree, you find that the expectations and the footballing style, or perhaps the players that you have, that you're equipped with, don't fit that style. And I think Marsh found that he couldn't exactly play the entirely vertical style of football, that similar to the struggles that Ralf Rangnick's having at the moment United, because you saw his teams were getting turned over far too easily on the break. And I think he probably wasn't really expecting that, having spent so long within the Red Bull school. And I saw, who was it today, is become head of Red Bull Soccer, the technical director?
Mario Gomez,
yeah, I knew it was someone. But yeah, I mean, I do hope that he gets another role in German football, because I think he is generally quite a likable guy. I mean, anyone who's an English native speaker and makes the move to a foreign country where English isn't the first language got quite a lot of respect for, and his German was actually pretty decent. He was giving interviews pretty competently to German TV, so I think he'll be looking to stay within Germany. I can't imagine it's too long before one Bundesliga team pulls the trigger on its coach. So, you want to say something?
How do you feel, George, to be included in a list with Marcus Anfang and Jesse Marsh?
Yeah, it's esteemed company for sure. It would make an interesting dinner table, wouldn't it? Me, yeah. Jesse Marsh, Marcus Anfang.
But you can't do it in Hamburg because it's 2G rules and Marcus Anfang is not allowed in, basically. Yeah. So you're going to have to make sure it's in a different setting, different part of the country.
Yeah, and I currently can't actually get back into Germany, so I actually can't be in Germany. So maybe we'll have to reconvene in America or something. Anyway, that was silly. Colin, what was your disappointment of the season?
I've got two. I've just thought of one while we've been in the call, a slightly more general one. And I think it's it probably eclipses the other one in, from a personal point of view. I think the return of Geisterspieler is a massive disappointment to the season and probably something that we hadn't anticipated would come around again. Just at the start of the season when there's small crowds, then they increase slightly. Certain grounds, like Royal Uno in Hamburg, allowed full capacity under certain rules, of course. But now, really, the full country's under these empty stadium rules, aside from Berlin, I believe, are letting up to 3,000 in. But the rest of the country is back to empty stadiums. But that just from a personal point of view, I think that's really disappointing and sort of makes you look forward a bit less to the season kicking off again, because you know it's back to these empty stadiums, and it just really makes for a much worse spectacle, especially on the TV. The main one I had in mind from a footballing perspective was Gladbach, who have been extremely disappointing this season. As it stands, they're currently in the thick of the relegation battle with only 19 points. That's only two clear Stuttgart, who are currently sitting in the playoff spot. It does seem like quite a transitional period for the club. Obviously, Adi Hütter's come in, replacing Marco Rosa. Everyone really expected Hütter would do quite well, I think, replacing Rosa after how he performed quite impressively as coach of Frankfurt, but it's just not really taken off yet. Hasn't had the desired impact. It seems like there's a bit of a stale feeling across the club. They do have quite a talented squad, but maybe there's the odd player that's been there a bit too long. Should probably have been sold already. In the last sort of week or two, both Dennis Zakaria and Matthias Ginter have both announced that they're not going to be renewing their contracts, which expire in the summer. So they'll both be leaving, both key members of the squad, you have to say, who'll have to replace. Just in general, I think a lot of the side's best players haven't performed. Florian Neuhaus, he seemed to be in an upward curve, attracted interest from a range of different clubs, but he's regressed quite a bit this season, I think. Even lost his place in the side, quite often being on the bench this season, which you wouldn't really have thought this time last year would have happened. Also, a different player like Stindl, he's a player they're particularly reliant on. He only scored a couple of goals. And that's the same case with likes of Mbolo and Plea. Marcus Thuram hasn't even scored yet this season. I think they just could do a lot better with the sources they've got at their disposal. And I think, to be honest, the squad could do with freshening up a wee bit. I think a couple of signings this month would be positive for them. I'm not sure if that'll happen. They might not want to panic. Some clubs are reluctant to spend in January. I think whatever happens this season, it will be a disappointment, because they probably thought this year, with the lack of European football, they could just solely focus on the league and head towards the top four. But that's really out of the question already, you'd have to say. So for now, the focus really has got to be heading towards mid-table security and avoiding a relegation battle, because many clubs before have thought that they were too good to go down, but they're in a particularly precarious position right now.
Yeah, Gladbach, an endlessly confusing team, evidenced by, I watched, it's quite common for the sporting director in Germany to give a sort of 45-minute hour discussion broadcast live, and Max Eberl was kind of baffled at how they'd had such an up-and-down season. I mean, well, not just season, but a whole 2021. I remember talk about Neuhaus. I remember about this time last year when he scored a cracking goal against Bayern when they beat them away in last January. And, you know, this season they beat Bayern 5-0 in the cup. They beat Borussia Dortmund 1-0 at home. Had some impressive wins, but then they've lost 6-0 at home to Freiburg, lost 4-1 away to Köln in the derby. It just looked so poor at times. That game against Freiburg was one of the strangest games I've ever seen. They just seemed to concede of every free kick, every corner they had. It was 6-0 at half-time, wasn't it? Or was it 5-0 at half-time? I think it was 6, yeah. I think it's kind of refreshing. I think they're going to need a refresh with the likes of Zakaria and Ginter leaving in the season. But the one positive I would say for Gladbach is that they have the chance on Friday, if the game goes ahead, or tomorrow, or today, as you're listening to this probably, to play a much weakened Bayern side, a side that's been struck down with COVID, and Bayern are continuing to try and get that game cancelled. And traditionally, Bayern's biggest sort of banana skin has always been against Gladbach. You know, they've beaten them twice this calendar year already. So I think if they could start the Rückrunde with a win away in Bayern, away at Bayern, then they would be on their way. But I mean, it's difficult because they're so unpredictable this season, and yeah, very disappointing. You got anything to add to that, Roy?
No, I'm just, me and Colin had a wee giggle when you said the score was 5 or 6-0, and I knew it was 6, and I held up 5, and then all of a sudden this system just came up. But you were looking at the screen, luckily, to distract you. But me and Colin just did a wee giggle off screen for you there, just to give you a wee insight how they teach school in Paisley, which is not very well.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that the five and six counting is obviously where Mark van Bommel went wrong. So maybe you should have given him your counting lessons. But this is not for Mark van Bommel, it's for Adi Hütter. So
continue with what was your disappointment in the season, George?
Yeah, I had a few candidates, and until a few weeks ago, 1860 would have been would have been taking the spoils for disappointment of the season. But I'd say that the way that they sort of crawled it back towards the end of the season, winning, scoring 5 goals, conceding none in the last 2 games of the season since Mulder's left, I can't really say they've disappointed me too much. I think we're actually back on track. So they've escaped the firing line of the title of disappointment of the Hinrunde. Joshua Kimmich was also a candidate for me for his anti-vaccine, some questionable opinions on the vaccine, and you know, so that sort of came back to bite him. But I feel very bad for crowning them my disappointment of the season, because they are doing very, very well. But my disappointment is actually Borussia Dortmund, mainly because I felt so disappointed. I mean, if you go back to, was it match day 13, the match day before the so-called Klassiker between Dortmund and Bayern, Dortmund were only 1 point behind Bayern. And if they had won that, or at least got a point, which I think probably would have been a fair result from that game, they would have been right in with it with two easy games before the Christmas break against Hertha and Bochum, I think. Yeah. But, you know, and they lost that game in pretty excruciating fashion. I said they deserved to draw, but they were a hell of a lot of mistakes. I mean, probably one of the worst games I've seen Mats Hummels play in a while. But you thought, right, okay, there's a 4-point difference, and I would have been cautious to resign the title at that point. But then in the meantime, you know, and also the other thing you get, Bayern came into that game in a really poor run of form. They just lost to Augsburg, and they laboured to a very poor 1-0 win at home to Bielefeld. And, you know, a couple of weeks before that, they had that 5-0 loss against Gladbach. So I think there was a feeling that, and subsequently been dumped out of the Pokal, I think there was a feeling that Bayern were at their quite a weak point and were there for the taking, and Dortmund were on quite a strong run of form. But yeah, I mean, Bayern do what they always seem to do in the games against Dortmund, and they just about got it over the line. But still, there's only 4 points difference. But then you see the difference in quality, the difference in mentality, that since that game, Bayern have scored 11 goals, conceded one, and also won 3-0 against Barcelona, whilst Dortmund have drawn with Bochum and lost to Hertha, who have been one of the poorest teams all season. So showed signs of being all right, but not a team that Dortmund should ever think about losing to at the moment. And they're already out of the Champions League. And now there's a 9-point margin with a 25 goal difference or 25 goal difference, so essentially 10 points. So I just think that the way it's just fallen off since the Clásico loss is, it's just disappointing because you can't afford to be drawing with Bochum and losing to Hertha if they ever plan on winning the Bundesliga. And you know, and now that Bayern find themselves in this COVID crisis, we would have thought if Dortmund had been in with a little bit more, if 3-4 point margin even, or if they'd won that game, they remained in touching distance going into the Christmas break, then we would have had a really interesting second half of the season. But the way they've just fallen off a cliff is you know, disappointing, because they have been really impressive at times this season. But I think we can all agree that the Bundesliga title race is over once again in December, January, which is pretty poor to see. But let's move on to a happier topic, or happier, what is it? Or what is this even called? Breakdown? No. What is this called? Section?
Category.
Category. Yeah, I have no idea why I couldn't figure that word. We all hate games without fans, and I personally actually find football pretty boring and redundant without fans. But we were all very lucky to at least went to at least some German football games this season. Roy probably more than anyone, but like I said, I managed to go to at least one game in each of Germany's top five tiers, which I think to do in 3 months was pretty impressive. As well as the games that I played in, the random amateur games I went to watch all the time. So this category is called favorite stadium / match attended. So Roy, is this, have you gone for another Haasfowl related answer here, or?
I mean,
your favorite stadium cannot be the Volkspark Stadion.
It's not. But I'm also scared that with me going first, and like with Colin's limited choices, I might have chosen Colin's. But I'll maybe just skim through. That's why I kind of came up with like two or three for. But my favorite stadium had to be the Ostseestadion, and I don't want to steal Colin's because it probably is, but because he's not picking the Volkspark either. Even though the Volkspark is a very good stadium, let's not discredit it. It's top stadium that shouldn't be in the Zweite Liga. But Ostseestadion was one of my favourites. But I think if I give another one, I'm going to go for the Adolf Jäger Kampfbahn, where we were lucky enough to watch what has been a very poor Altona 93 side. But just the day out, the first actual GFP football experience as well, with more than one member going. Which makes sense, because if we're on our own, it would be the GFP. But anyway, definitely that Adolf Jäger Kampfbahn was my favourite stadium. Do you want me to tell you my favourite match as well?
I, like I said, I don't care, but everyone's listening wants to know. That's why they're listening.
Nice. So if I have to pick a Haasfowl one, because I've been to most games, it's got to be my first win, which was against Regensburg. I think they were just kind of capped off with the fact that they scored so many goals. And Antti Suhonen, who's probably one of my favourite players, watching Haasfowl this season, got the score sheet for the first time ever as a 20-year-old as well. So I think that was quite a memorable favourite match for me. But again, I'm going to have to choose. I can't not choose the Hansa against Dusseldorf game. I'll let Colin go into more detail. But my summary of that game and why it was good was the day was great, the occasion was good, the game was good, some great goals. Bentley Baxter ban. Colin fought with a Rostock young that wore cargo trousers and a guy holding a pumpkin, and George wasn't there.
I knew that was coming.
So I'll let Colin kind of say more about that, obviously, but that was my reasoning to that. So favourite stadium was the Adolf Jäger Kampfbahn, and my favourite game was the Haasfowl against Regensburg and Hansa against Düsseldorf.
Yeah, I'd say I don't like Haasfowl, but I'm a big fan of Antti Suhonen ever since I watched him in training. But I saw he got injured in the training camp, didn't he?
Sadly, he seems to have an issue with his thigh because that's a couple of times he's pulled up. But he's a young lad, and I think he'll probably come through by the end of the season as well, and just still continue to have a really good season. One to watch out for, because I don't think many people talk about him if they don't watch this Vita Liga relentlessly. Definitely a very good young player there.
Definitely, only 20 years old as well. So, Ansi, if you're listening, well, I don't say if, he's definitely listening. We wish you a swift recovery. Colin, you may as well take over the reins here. I'm assuming that your favorite game can't have been Haasfeld 1, Holstein Kiel 1. So I'm assuming that your favorite game will have been the Hansa game that you went to without me. So let us know about that and why it was your favorite. Or am I assuming it?
Yeah, you're both correct in your predictions. I've sort of combined both my stadium and match attended live. The game between Hansa Rostock and Fortuna Düsseldorf at the Ostseestadion is my favourite stadium and match. As you say, I'm slightly more limited for choice compared to others in the podcast, as I've only been to two German games this season. But I'm going for the Ostseestadion. It's pretty clear the Volksparkstadion is the better ground in terms of condition and facilities, state of the art, whereas Ostseestadion, it's a bit run down, but I don't know, it just had much more of a passionate atmosphere, I think. And just in general, it was a more exciting match. As Roy said, great goals, great opener from Harald Behrens. And also a home victory, which I think helped with the atmosphere compared to the Haasfeld versus Kiel. The sort of, as the game petered out a wee bit, the atmosphere did as well. So I would say Rostock, and a really good day out as well. Just heading on those multiple trains take us we were traveling for like 6 hours that day. But I think the time went in quickly when you're having fun with the weird jokes and stuff, like the pumpkin, the guy with the pumpkin who battered me, which what I thought was a basketball, and other various stories. I also liked that Rostock is a ground that's quite rare for people to attend. I think it's quite cut off. Rostock, just in the northeast corner of Germany, it's quite cut off from the rest of other big cities. It's a few hours away from Berlin, even from Hamburg, which you think of as being close to it. It took us near enough 3 hours to get there. So it's not one that people really regularly tend to have been to. So to tick it off the list felt good. And it would be one I'd recommend for people to try, including you, George.
Yeah, well, it's definitely top of my list. But near the top of my list. I was otherwise engaged playing a football game of my own that day. But I'm surprised, Roy, that you didn't mention the Bremerbrücke. I'd say that was definitely one of my favourite stadiums I went to. Not so impressive. It was a nice place.
I think Colin made a really good point that if the home team wins and you're visiting as a neutral fan, it always kind of, you remember it more. And Osnabrück were shocking that day. And it was a really good experience because we had a great day out. Everything from the bratwurst to the portion of mayonnaise was great at Osnabrück, but the performance on the pitch was kind of poor. So Bremerbrücke could probably make it stadium though. But again, I just, like, unfortunately you weren't there to see it, but the Ostseestadion is just one of those proper good stadiums that I don't know if you mentioned it there, Colin, but the floodlights were amazing as well. Just one of those great stadiums that you really have to see. So maybe the Bremerbrücke comes into it, but I wouldn't say it really beats Ostsee just because of the game as well.
That's all right. I'm just trying to get involved, really. Trying not to feel left out. I definitely know what you mean by the home win thing. I mean, I think I went nearly 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, or 5 or 6 weekends in a row of going to a German football game before I saw a home win, which is actually my favourite match, which I'll get onto. But sticking to stadiums, I think also the MDTT Arena, where Magdeburg play, is very, very impressive. I mean, they actually ended up losing to one of the worst teams in the league, Wolfsburg, but friend of the pod, Nilla, informed me that Magdeburg is the loudest stadium in Germany per head. And that was, yeah, definitely felt that. The ultras were there for that game. And very, very impressive. Very impressive stadium. Very, very good club as well. I'd give a shout out to the Friedrich Ludwig Jahn Sportpark in Berlin. That was good. You talk about floodlights. I see your Ossie Stadion and raise you, the Friedrich Ludwig Jahn Sportpark. And also the Westfalenstadion at Dortmund was probably the best stadium I've been to in my life. And some of the you know, Roy, the stadium in, or the pitch in Sternschanze, that was actually one of my favorites, little amateur ground there. So I'd probably say for my stadium, I'd say the Westfalenstadion. But I was lucky to go to a lot of games, but I don't think 1860 against Schalke in the cup could be eclipsed very easily. I mean, the whole day getting a train down there and seeing some old friends, evening cup game, dumping out a much, you know, higher performing Zweite Bundesliga team with the likes of Tirode coming on. And yeah, just a 1-0. And it wasn't, like I said at the time, it wasn't a smash and grab. It was 1-0, kind of dominated the game. Probably unlucky not to win it by more in the end. And yeah, great atmosphere. The first and last game that the Grünwalder Stadion was full for this season. It just felt like a very special occasion. And it's a shame that for the next game against Karlsruhe, it won't be the same. So I kind of felt lucky that I got to be there in that short period of time where everything was sort of normal for once. And I bloody hope we win against Karlsruhe and that we get through to the next round and potentially be able to go to the next round or the next game if it's at home or away. Talking of the game of the season, that would be my game of the season, that potential for game of the season overall, but game of the season that you weren't necessarily at, unless Colin Hansa against Dusseldorf was your all-time favourite game of this season. What was your standout game of the, doesn't have to be Bundesliga, but German football season?
It wasn't one I was at. It certainly wasn't Hamburg versus Holstein Kiel. I've gone for a Bundesliga game, which I would say one of the games I enjoyed most when watching live. I don't know, it seems so long ago, the first half of the season. I mean, we're recording this just when the Rückrunde is about to start. So I had to actually, we were both saying, we had to look at kickers to look at the previous results, what fixtures actually happened the first half of the season. One which stuck out in my mind was Frankfurt 5, Leverkusen 2 in December. Thought that was a really exciting game to watch. Everything you'd really want from a Bundesliga game, end-to-end, two strong attacking sides, and most importantly, leaky defences, which lead to a lot of goals. And you certainly get that from Leverkusen when they have an off day. Leverkusen raced into a two-goal lead, Patrick Schick scoring a double. So he continued his fine scoring form. But I think a really important turning point in the game for an entertainment perspective, but also for Frankfurt's point of view, was Tuta pulling a goal straight back, straight away, which allowed them to stage a comeback. They hit back with another four goals after that, winning 5-2, and really continued Frankfurt's resurgence. They made a really slow start, but they've climbed the table. They're now sitting in Europa League spots, and I think it felt almost like Frankfurt have been a side I've really enjoyed watching the last past few years because they have been attractive to watch, really exciting attacking football, and it felt like a hark back to the days of Haller, Jovic and Rebic. It's good to see that continue. So I would say that was my favourite game that I've watched this season.
Yeah, Frankfurt starting to look very exciting and sort of, yeah, harking back to the good old days where they used to score quite a lot of goals. That was, of course, the game in which Patrick Schick scored the Bundesliga's 5,000th penalty, which I'm sure you forgot to mention is one of the reasons for why it was your highlight of the season. Yeah, I think Frankfurt have also gone a little bit under the radar in that they've actually ended up finishing the Hinrunde of 6 wins from 7, only slipping up that 3-2 loss away to Hoffenheim. scoring plenty of goals on the way. So it'll be interesting to see if they can carry that form into the Rook Runner for sure. Now we're going to move on to, what are we going to move on to, Roy? You and your game of the season.
We are.
Let's do that then.
Well, I'll give you them if you want them. So you've kind of got a feeling from me this season. I've had to watch a lot of Vita Liga, so all of mine are Vita Liga ones. All of mine are actually very against Werder Bremen, and I don't mean to be, but I'm not going to speak about all four, but I couldn't not choose four, and three of them are Bremen defeats. So I feel like I've kind of got a Bremen agenda, but I don't. My first one is, just because of how good they've been this season, Darmstadt, when they beat Bremen 3-0, just, it was a resounding victory. It just proved with Pfeiffer and Tietz how important they've been this season. And it's a really big result for them to keep them sitting pretty in second. Kiel against Bremen was another game that I fairly enjoyed watching. Just really exciting game, kind of a northern duel, as they like to call them here. Just a really good game, really good goals, and just another good performance from both teams, because Bremen obviously lost.
Maybe it might be helpful to everyone who can't remember every Zweite Liga result off by heart to mention what the results were in these games.
I actually did say there was 3-0 to Darmstadt. There was 2-1 to Kiel.
I apologize. I didn't hear that a second time, to be honest.
Well, if we can go back and do it again, it's fine just for you. My third game, Paderborn 4, Karlsruhe 2, Sven Michel with the four goals to make it 4-0 for half. Like, just a mental game. Just really memorable as well, watching that. Okay, I watched it on the conference, but it was mostly on the game most of the time with six goals. And a game that I definitely watched fully, it was a game of the season, was Hasfal 2, Bremen 0. Both captains get sent off. Two really good goals for Hasfal, and for me, working there and like watching it, that was probably my game of the season. Just really to get that Nord Derby win as well was really important for Hasfal, just to keep their momentum going for the season, where they, like, that's probably a result that if you look at the table, if they lost that game, you know, they'd be sitting quite low in the table, but that win kind of keeps them up where they are in third. So for me, that was kind of the four that I could pick. I kind of came up with that. Just, I really enjoyed watching. They're all Zweite Liga, unfortunately, for anyone who doesn't care about Zweite Liga, but you know what? I do. So
yeah, I remember that game against Bremen, because Robert and I were just coming back from Magdeburg, and we got the second half at the house.
Yeah,
that was definitely a crazy game. So not St. Pauli 3, Hasfal 2 wasn't a highlight for you, no? Mackie Knock on no, fire.
I did not enjoy that.
I did.
I've just thought of another very good, entertaining Zweite Liga game, which I'd forgotten about. I thought Fortuna Düsseldorf against Werder Bremen. I think it was only about match day two. Werder Bremen won 3-2. Narai equalised in the last minute for Fortuna, but then ended up giving away a penalty, and Werder Bremen scored a late winner. That was a very entertaining game, and one of the very first few Saturday night top spiel games in the Zweite Liga, which have continued to be enthralling, with the odd exception.
Yeah,
definitely. I think Ingolstadt 0, Nuremberg 0 was also a highlight for me. And I'm surprised, going back to what we were saying earlier, no one said that they were themselves surprised Ingolstadt at bottom of the Zweite Liga. Maybe that was just too obvious of a surprise, maybe. Anyway, enough of that. I had to get it in once. My game of the season was Bayer Leverkusen 3, Borussia Dortmund 4. I thought this was a pretty obvious pick, to be honest. Just because I think it's generally a Bundesliga game that we'll look back on in years to come. And and looking at the score sheet now, Wirtz, Haaland, Schick, Brandt, Diaby, Guerrero, and Haaland again. I mean, the amount of talent on show in that game was incredible. Not just the likes of Haaland and whatnot, but I mean, the young players, like watching Florian Wirtz take that first goal in the way he did, the solo effort, and, you know, Guerrero scoring a free kick from miles outside the box, Brandt was, that was kind of when Brandt was kicking into gear. He's sort of gone on the radar as having a very good first half of the season with 5 goals and 4 assists, I think it is. And, you know, Dortmund come from behind 3 times. Jude himself, the hero of the podcast, scoring and having a pretty iconic celebration, that being ruled out, unfortunately. But then with Haaland's goal, he's gone on top of Haaland and caught the beer cup and drank from the cup. I mean, that's just iconic. And just so much happened in 90 minutes. I think the only negative for me about the game was that it was decided by a pretty dubious penalty with that foul of Marco Reus, if you remember that. But yeah, I mean, to come from being a goal behind 3 times and just the quality of players. I mean, not even talked about Patrick Schick once this podcast. I mean, he's second in the Bundesliga scoring charts at the moment, ahead of Haaland. He's, you know, 14 goals, 17, is that right? 14 goals.
Yeah, but remember, George, we're both Scottish and we still haven't got over that goal, the Euros. That's, so
that is true.
You know, I mentioned Patrick Schick scoring a double against Frankfurt, and I said he had continued his fine scoring form, but obviously he went listening at that point.
Obviously not. I wholeheartedly apologise. But maybe we should have spoken about Schick a little bit more, because I think last season he was honking. He was pretty ordinary. And then he had that tremendous Euros, notably against Scotland. And everyone was kind of wondering whether he was going to kick into gear for this Bundesliga season. And like I said, I think it's 14 and 16. And he's just, yeah, he's been very, very impressive. But just in that game, the amount of quality on the score sheet and even not on the score sheet was, and it was also very sunny that day. If you remember, it was a very, very sunny day. I think that helps in a good match when it's crystal clear air. You know what I mean? Very sunny, blue skies, fresh air. I mean, I'm not a fan of too many games being in the rain. I'm not sure about what that does. I like a game that's played in nice September, August sun. Maybe that's just because I'm a boy born and raised in the south of England. Anyway, let's get on to the juicy stuff. The bold prediction for the Rückrunde, which almost certainly we will all get incorrect, given that a similar prediction from Roy about the Hinrunde was that Mark van Bommel would do pretty well.
And I think they do well if they give him a chance.
And also, Sandhausen aren't doing amazingly, are they, Roy? given that Roy's prediction for Mark van Bommel to be a decent coach in the Bundesliga and was sacked after the first Bundesliga manager sacked and also single-handedly got them knocked out of the cup, and also that Sandhausen would do well and they currently find themselves in the relegation position of the Zweite Bundesliga, I'm very interested to see what you say here, and whatever you say, I'll put my money on the exact opposite. So what is your bold prediction, Roy?
Right, I'll get 2.
even more money, even more winnings for me.
The first one is new, and it's only because I'm very aggravated by what's been going on in social media. And it's very unlike yourself. Yeah, very, very. I've kind of got the hope. I feel like I don't want to. I don't know the guy personally. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I kind of don't want him to succeed because of the absolute like trolloping they've been giving him on. Like, I just don't get. I don't think Ricardo Pepe will live up to the hype that Augsburg have given him in 40 tweets in the last 16 hours. I just think that I don't like it. I just think that they're capitalising on the fact they've signed an American. Obviously, the fact they spent a lot of money, which is kind of mad for Augsburg. Obviously, they've got this American investor. And it does make sense when you look into the deal and the thick of it. But I've just kind of got this hatred towards what's been going on in social media, and the amount of posts is just about Ricardo Pepe. And I don't know why it's annoying me, but... And I mean, I'll probably eat more words and do the exact same thing when if Haas Fowl signed an American player. But I just feel like it's really annoyed me. I don't know if anyone else has anyone else felt that before I got into my second one, or am I just being very...
I don't think I've ever had I don't think I've ever had any strong feelings about anything Augsburg I've ever been involved in.
Well, that's probably a good point. But I don't know, George, do you not get it as well? I think there's been too many tweets about him that I kind of hope he doesn't succeed for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever go as far to say I hope anyone doesn't succeed. And I was very, very curious to know. You had a very long build-up to who you actually said you were talking about there. My mind was racing about who you could possibly be talking about. But I know what you mean. It is it's strange, and it almost certainly is linked to the fact that Augsburg have a large American investor that he was signed. It is strange that he signed for Augsburg, who have only scored 17 goals this season. And you can't expect him to be a sort of plug-and-play fix, especially at the age of 18, because he actually wasn't... I mean, yeah, he was only 10th top goal. He was only 10th in the MLS rankings with 13 goals last season, and he is only 18. But there were certainly better options. I mean, Paco Alcacer could have come back to the Bundesliga. I mean, he's valued at transfer market at 12 million euros, or like a proven goal scorer in the Bundesliga. It's Augsburg are going to have a lot of questions to answer if they get relegated this season, which is very possible, and let's be honest, quite desirable. If they do get relegated, they're going to have a lot of questions to answer as to why they signed a, I'm not going to say unknown, but untested 18-year-old for 16 million euros, their record transfer, when there was almost certainly better options out there that sort of brought them a bit more stability and certainty. But we could look stupid in 6 months' time if he has a brilliant Rook Runder. And personally, I would be happy to see him do that, because I'm not as hatred filled as yourself, but it is. He did turn down Wolfsburg in his decision making, which I mean is a bit of a bloody smack in the face for Wout Weghorst and Metcha, but he's going to lead the line there, and we're interesting to see how it plays out. You've got another one, have you? Even bolder prediction.
Oh, this is bolder, and you're both going to hate it.
Right.
And you can probably both guess what it is. Hattis Ballot will be promoted to the Bundesliga. You're both pissing yourself laughing. I just think, like, I know, like, I watch them every weekend, so this is why maybe I see differently to a lot of people.
I mean, if you watch them every weekend, I think that should be a reason to think they won't get promoted.
But it's just sometimes they just look the part, and I just feel like they get a slight bit of consistency in them, which they've lost the least amount of games this season. I don't want to feel like I'm all Haswell, because I try not to take my work.
You're literally wearing a Haswell tracksuit right now.
It's cold, and it's really comfortable. The only reason. I just think that there is a chance that they could get promoted this year. And the other thing is, I think that this is the year that if they don't get promoted, then afterwards, like, if you don't see a Bremen or a Schalke get promoted this year, next year they'll be stronger. Things like that. I feel like it's kind of that, like, people have been saying every year is their last chance, but I feel like this generally could be their last chance before they're stuck for a while. Because you have seen the biggest change to the squad this year as well. So they can't do that again. I just think that if they get more consistent under them, they've only lost two games this season. Let's just remind ourselves about that as well. The team with the least loss. I mean,
you can't be drawing nine. But
they've also drawn half of their games.
Yeah, that's poor. And I would say some of those games, I would say they were maybe lucky to get a draw.
I was about to say if you didn't foul. Of course, but I just have this, I've got this thing in the back of my head that I just see them getting promoted. Is it because I want to enjoy my work? Yes. Is it because I would love to be in the Bundesliga, working in the Bundesliga next year? Yes. Is it because I want to end the summer happy? Yes. So maybe it's a personal thing, but my two predictions are bold. You wanted a bold prediction? What do you want me to say? Yeah, like, yeah. Ingolstadt are going to get relegated? No, I'm going bold. Pepe won't be as good as everyone's making him out to be.
Pepe won't be happy. Roy will be happy.
That is exactly... No, but Augsburg fans will remain unhappy, and I will become happy.
Augsburg fans are ecstatic. They've been stealing and living in the Bundesliga for 10-plus years now. They're over the moon. They're a lot... I'd say they're
they've spent
the
money that they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
So I just want to reiterate before we move on to Colin, because I've been speaking for a while. I'm not meaning anything bad against Ricardo Pepe. He's an 18-year-old guy. He's probably going to be a very good football player, but the amount of pressure he's already got on himself is mad. Like, he's basically been brought in for that amount of money, 18-year-old, to go and say, like, you make Augsburg good, you make Augsburg score goals. That's the main part of what I wanted to say. I just didn't get it out in time.
He has also, like I said, they've got an American owner, so he has also been brought in to sell shirts in America. I mean, I saw...
That's the thing, he's been brought in for that, and that's why...
They've already got a partnership with someone in America to sell. I mean, I can't imagine that many people in America were already... There was an excess of Augsburg shirts floating around, but they've already opened a partnership so people can buy those. So, I mean, financially, that might internally lead to better results on the pitch. But we don't know. But I mean, I was just going to... Your bold prediction kind of does lead into mine. So I might jump in before Colin. My bold prediction is that Pauli will not be promoted. Oofed, I hear you say. A few oohs. Yeah, indeed.
More about an ooh, but...
Yeah. And I hate to say this because I think Pauli are a tremendous club, and I much, much prefer them to Haasfeld. And I actually don't think Haasfeld will get promoted, but I have this feeling that Pauli won't. I mean, since they were crowned Herbstmeister in that win at home to Schalke, which I was able to be part of the celebrations of, despite not being at the match, they couldn't get that winner against Dusseldorf, looked a little bit shaky in that game. And then, like we said earlier, lost 3-0. Away to Kiel, finish the Hinrunde on a bit of a bitter note. They've got an easy game to start the Rückrunde with Auer, but then they play BVB in the cup, and then they've got the derby within a space of a few days in January. And I was looking at the last four games of their season, they played Darmstadt, Nuremberg, Schalke away, and finished with Düsseldorf. You couldn't ask for too much of a harder end to the season. You're playing, four of the best teams in the league in for the last four games of the season. And you can see that the wheels could come off. I mean, it's very ominous the way the Zweite Bundesliga are sitting at the moment. Four teams in the top, well, between third and sixth, all on 30 points. And then you've got Bremen and Regensburg on 29 and 28 behind them. If you can just see, I mean, if they fall off, they could get caught in that little congestion bit there. And imagine how disheartening that would be for them, being way out front the whole season. They slip up and Darmstadt go ahead of them, and they lose the derby, they get out of the cup, lose a couple of games in the balance, they'll be right in amongst that little congested patch. And I have a feeling that the heartbreak or the emotional turmoil that will cause is difficult. It might be difficult to come back from. Is that a peace sign, or do you want to say something?
I say something. I feel like that's how we're going with this podcast. I know Colin's not said anything in a while, so I kind of want to know his opinion on that. But as he shakes his head, but who do you think is going up then?
Me.
Yes, well, you made
I've told you this before. I think that Schalke and Darmstadt will go up,
and then
Nuremberg will lose in the relegation to probably bloody Augsburg, to be honest.
Pepe scores.
As a Hamburg resident, I would like to see at least one team. That's complete bollocks. I do not want to see Haasfeld. I was trying to pretend that I was an all round love for football, but I can't. I actually cannot stand Haasfeld in the slightest.
Well,
I would absolutely love to see Pauli in the Bundesliga. It would be incredibly disheartening to see Haasfeld get promoted and Pauli not go up. I fear that might happen, but I don't think Haasfeld be there. I think Darmstadt, Schalke. Schalke are a strong side. And then I think, Nuremberg, even Bremen might get in the relegation spot. and probably lose to maybe an Augsburg, maybe even a Stuttgart or a Bochum, and I think it'll probably just be two teams up again. I mean, what, Colin, you've been very quiet. I mean, you need to sort of separate this feud between Roy and I that does normally happen on a bloody daily basis.
Having to wake myself back up after that 20 minutes without saying anything. Never even got a chance. As I was sort of saying earlier, I tend to agree with George on this. I just don't really trust St. Pauli. They tend to go on these, a batch of, really a good half season and a bad half season. A lot of their seasons tend to turn out that way. Obviously, last season they made a bad start, but then were quite strong in the second half of the season. There was a previous year that they'd made a good start, but they fell away towards the end. I believe it's when Coulon won the league. St. Pauli ended up finishing short. I just have more faith in Darmstadt, to be honest. I think they've got more. They're coming into the second half of the season with more momentum. You did see warning signs, like George said, towards the end of the Hinrunde, that not the wheels are falling off, but St. Pauli have slipped up a couple of times in games against Dusseldorf, and obviously that Kiel result. So I tend to agree. It could still happen, but if I was to make a prediction, I would say that they'll just miss out on promotion. Who'll go up instead? I think Darmstadt will go up. It's hard to say who'll go up with them. I want it to be a big club. Even if it had to be Haasvall, I'm not a huge fan of them, but I think...
You do have a Haasvall scarf right behind your head there.
See, this with a Haasvall Derby Ziga 4-0 scarf behind me. I actually prefer St. Pauli as a club, but I would rather see Haasvall promoted than St. Pauli, because I think the Bundesliga is missing Haasvall, and I'm a wee bit sick of just seeing them in the Zweite Liga all the time finishing fourth. The Bundesliga is a better place with the biggest clubs there, and particularly this season you're seeing that Schalke, Werder Bremen, Haasvall, Nuremberg all in the second tier. Something has to
Ingolstadt as well,
one of these Ingolstadt one of these big clubs has to come back up, or else they're going to continue to decline. The longer that, if you don't get straight back up first time, the harder it is to get promoted the following season, as Haasvall have learnt. So I hope it's a Schalke or a Werder Bremen or a Haasvall, but I'm not too sure. I'll make a pessimistic prediction and say it will be Heidenheim.
Oof. That came out of nowhere. Interesting. That is, I mean, I would go as far to say shocking. Fair enough. Well, yeah, they are.
That might be shocking this season.
I've not even made my prediction yet.
I know.
You've got some tender hooks here. If it's as shocking and bold as Heidenheim, then we're in for a treat here.
This is actually quite bold. I think Stuttgart will be relegated.
And do you mean directly or in a playoff?
Directly relegated, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think from a side that played reasonably attractive football last season, a lot of admirers, gained a lot of admirers after the promotion. I think they've really regressed, looking really ordinary, I think, so far. Even in matches where they've got results, they've stolen draws, which have been quite lucky, notably against Union and Frankfurt, but where they really scraped by. They've had bad luck with injuries, but I mean, that doesn't really count for anything in terms of points. Those injuries, I think, have cost them, and that's contributed to the fact that they're down there with only 17 points in the relegation playoff just now. Because of these injuries, they've had to play players that probably wouldn't want to be regulars, like Marmoush, Koulibaly, who I think are probably more of a squad player quality. They're quite frustrating, inconsistent, and that's shown from the results. and the likes of Kalajdzic, who have missed, still to come back, but he might take a bit of time to get back into his rhythm, but get back to full fitness. As Silas has done, he's really only been making appearances from the bench and hasn't hit his top form yet. So I do worry about them. I had thought Armenia had been cut adrift, but recent wins have brought them back into the touch of safety, and it shows a bit of steel and resolve to them after getting back-to-back wins, notably against Leipzig. So it wouldn't surprise me if they overtook them and ended up finishing the relegation playoff. So that's my bold prediction, is Stuttgart will go down. And let's not forget, they went down after an impressive season when they'd been promoted last time, where they ended up finishing seventh and went down the following season. So the same could happen this time. Following a successful season back, they could follow that in the second season with a relegation.
That is certainly bold. And yeah, they're going to start the season without Silas again, and Klimovic is still out with COVID. But I believe Mavropanos is back from his isolation. But they start the first game against Fort, so maybe it doesn't even really care who they play. But very, very disappointing season from Stuttgart. I think I actually tipped them to finish worryingly high in my preseason predictions. But I've got too much faith in Pellegrino Matarazzo as a coach. I think if things do continue to go bad, that they'll stick by him. I think he's got enough as a diligent Bundesliga manager. But I mean that would certainly be interesting to see how they get on for the rest of the season. That is it. That is the end of the podcast. Wow. I feel this has taken absolutely ages. But I think it was a good podcast anyway. Pretty enjoyable. Pretty bold. Pretty shocking. Pretty surprising. Pretty entertaining, I would say. We're most certainly back. We weren't back for a while. So much so that Colin nearly bought a house in the time that we were absent. And Roy managed to go through a whole quarantine and Christmas and New Year and birthday of our podcast. But we are back now, and the Bundesliga may be back tomorrow or today as you're listening, but it may not, because the game might be called off. It will definitely be back on Saturday, so, and we'll almost certainly be talking about that next week. So I guess that's the end of the podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riedle 1-0 für Borussia Dortmund.